Thanks for taking some time to talk to me. It's a great film. It took 2.5 years to put this together, and I know that Back to Back has been has done a short film before this. So obviously, working from the script of the play and taking it to a feature film must have been a big enterprise. Can you tell me about that?
It was also very exciting, going from the stage into film because of the amount of changes,
And people.
and people,
Yeah. It was we went do you want me to talk a little bit more about
yeah,
it? So
please, please.
we had some money that we got from the Department of Social Services to actually do some more work on the short that you're talking of, Oddlands, that we made with Matchbox Pictures. And for whatever a few reasons we didn't do that, and then the pandemic struck. And so we spent 2020 adapting over Zoom. So Bruce Gladwin, our artistic director and the director of the Shadow film, with Sarah and Scott and Simon and other collaborators, worked on adapting the feature film idea from the original play. And that went from a five-hander to, I think there was at least over 25 actors in the film version. And it was realized in between lockdowns and really coming out of when the Ring of Steel lifted at the end of 2020. So we went from having nobody in our studio to having, I think, over 60 people on site. You know, in the pandemic, it was very strange and weird. But we shot it, the main location was our studio, and we used the whole courthouse building, which is our home in Geelong, on the Wadawurrung country. And then we also used some exterior places nearby. Like, do you remember where we used, Sarah? Like just over a Geelong Arts Centre.
Just the center
Yeah.
and
The library
library,
and some of the foyer spaces in Geelong Arts Centre.
foyer,
Because the piece is about a meeting, so we use sort of those exterior meeting locations like a foyer, or there's a balcony. The film ends on a beautiful scene with Scott and Sarah looking over the waterfront in Geelong. So it's a, you know, partly a love letter to Geelong.
It's quite profound. And I know that the plays that Back to Back has been doing, I mean, I find them absolutely fascinating. All the things that you want to talk about, from the point of view of disability, people with who live as disabled people, but it's you're reflecting back on so-called able-bodied people, demanding explanation for their lack of understanding that disabled people are have the same rights, etc., etc. And it brings it all the way around to discussing artificial intelligence. So I love the discussion about artificial intelligence because I've got the same idea. You know, it's a trope. It's either a love affair or a threat. But you turn it on its head. There must have been a lot of discussion around this, Sarah.
There was, and it's interesting the way that It is a circle, and the way that, it does come in a full circle, and ends up, like you say, which is really interesting, I find.
It's like I mean, before I joined the company, I would say the same. It's the back-to-back works often pose more questions than they answer,
Then answer.
and there it's pretty non-linear. I mean, there is a linear story and framework, particularly with the film, but as Sarah says, it circles and it's non-linear, and threads that are brought and raised at the start of the film come back at the end. I also think what's interesting about the film is that more so than other back-to-back works, it really contends with disability and representation very squarely, because a lot of the other work of the company really isn't. I mean, it's partly there for sure, but it's about other concerns and wider societal, economic, global concerns or questions or a story. And it came from a very internal space, didn't it? Those questions.
That's right.
There was like a rehearsal room discussion around that. One of our marketing team had said, "Well, how do you want to be represented?"
Represented.
So some of the improvisations for the work that became The Shadow Who's Prey the Hunter Becomes and the film Shadow came from those in-house marketing company discussions around representation, and particularly with people who are perceived to have intellectual disabilities or identify as neurodiverse or don't identify as either of those things, but maybe perceived by non-disabled people to be that way. So it's quite challenging. I mean, I found it challenging in all the kind of good ways and difficult at times. So
Sarah, you have some very dramatic pieces at points in the film where you are posing quite dramatic statements about you as a woman and you as a person to the others, who are stepping over a line. Can you tell us about that? How did you feel doing that role? You do it
Oh,
magnificently.
I felt really, well, really strong, because I knew, I knew the, I knew, they were there, supporting me, and I knew, I knew, I knew where, how to, or how to,
state your case.
Be heard.
Be heard,
Because how do you, Sarah's,
how
how do you go
to,
being, I mean, up until this point, Brown is part of the ensemble, but at this time, you were the only female or
female,
non-binary or female identifying ensemble member. And whilst I'm sure others are pretty supportive and kind of feminists, I don't want to speak for
for
anyone else,
sure,
But how do you go, like, representing being a woman?
Woman.
And, you know, what the film dramatically, you know, challenges you or belittles women sometimes. How do you feel about having that strength and
Standing
standing
up
up to it?
for women.
Yeah, how do you feel about that?
I feel I can put my chest out
Listeners, she's putting her chest out, standing tall, sitting tall.
and as much as I may not, may or may not know, you know, where to go from
But I
there.
think it's fair to
I
say,
can, you know.
yeah, you find, I mean, it's fair to say, Annie, as you've seen in the film, and I see Sarah at work, finding her power and her strength, both dramatically as an actor, but then also in a room to assert your point of view. And yeah, I think the film intentionally does exactly what you've identified, Annie, like in terms of, yeah, Sarah's there to really say, hey, this is not okay. So there's quite a lot of comments on gender in the film, as well as sort of other intersectional representations, particularly around disabled and non-disabled people.
Also, there's very strong characters. Simon and Scott, like Scott has got a very strong character, and there's lots of differentiation between all of you. So it gives the film a very strong character. It just poses so many questions. But also, because it's a film, and you're so successful at doing theatre, but then now you've been very successful at making it into a film. I saw in the notes that, and it's true when you watch it, that you use a documentary, fly on the wall type approach, as well as dramatic scenes. With film, you make comment about film too. I love the beginning bit where the man is constantly repeating himself to camera. You learned a whole lot of stuff about how film is so unlike theatre. That's correct, isn't it?
How do you find that difference between having a camera in your face as opposed to having an audience 10 meters away? What's the difference for you? Or
I'm getting more used to it now. I'm getting more used to it now.
I think we all are at the company where we're not professing to be experienced screen content makers or filmmakers or TV or anything. We're enjoying being in this learning space and discovering how to do it. But I mean, what I love as an audience member watching this film, as distinct from, I mean, I think I still have a sentimental connection to the stage play because I love what that did and what it does. And the film emulates that in a way, absolutely. But I love in the film that you can really get up close and personal with, like, Sarah's face, her expressions. Like, it's so what cinema does so beautifully, like on a cinema screen as well with cinema sound, is you can see your face, the sound of your voice so intimately, which in a theater, of course, is different. I mean, Sarah's such an experienced theater performer. You're used to projecting and using your whole physicality and body in so many quite well-known, you know, pieces now, like Food
That's
Court,
right.
in Shadow Praise the Hunter Becomes, Lady It's Apple, many pieces. But what's also interesting about this film, Annie, as I'm sure you read about, is that we had an internship program alongside it, which, because we had this money from the Department of Social Services, this big, wonderful grant, it allowed us to make the film in a way that we brought on industry professionals to mentor us, but also mentor interns. So we put a big call out, and we had 10 interns who were behind the camera and 25 interns who were in front of the camera as extras who had one line, or some people had more than one line. We had some guest artists that we'd worked with before, like Brian Lipson, who was in a few of our works, and Melinda McClory did the voicing of the AI. And that was partly because we ourselves are new in film and screen, but we're also very aware of the pathways for people who live with a disability, who want to be involved in filmmaking or screen production, or would like to also perform and want to perform in screen as opposed to stage, because there are differences. And someone might say, oh, I want to be a screen actor. I don't mind theatre, but it's not my favourite. I prefer to do a film or television. What did you think of the internship program, Sarah?
I enjoyed it.
Having lots of interns and friends.
Yeah.
I mean, that was partly the having the 60 people. It's not just the film crew is usually pretty big, but then having all the extras and folk helping, we had a very detailed COVID safe plan, I'm happy to say. Lots of masks, but it was literally, way back in those times, 2020. And then we spent 2021 doing post-production and finalising the film. And then this year, 2022, has been about sharing it with the world and taking it to South by Southwest, which Scott and Bruce and Alice, our producer, went with. And then we're really enjoying and so looking forward to being able to share it with, our Victorian audience, with all the Melbourne folk. And then on the final night of MIF is a screening in Geelong, and that will be our local premiere of Shadow. So we've had a cast and crew screening, which was private, but this is so exciting to be able to share it with both Melbourne and Geelong audiences who have a long relationship with the company.
That's right. The music, that's very important. Tell us about that.
Yeah. Do you remember the music, the Luke Howard Trio? And Luke Howard and the other two artists that work in his trio worked with the ensemble to devise the composition for the live work. And then we, like everything, we've adapted it for the screen work. But it really is another character, isn't it? Like a lot of underscoring and helps drive the film, doesn't it? Does that help you when you're performing to hear the music?
It does.
There's like climaxes, and it's for, I mean, I'd argue as well the stage piece was quite filmic with that. The composition runs quite like an underscore. But it's, I mean, we're very lucky because we often get to collaborate with really amazing composition friends and collaborators and musicians who just created this really formidable score for us for the actors to work off, for us to play with. And then there's with film, the great thing is you can do a really detailed sound design as well. And that you can lay that alongside on top of the composition itself. So it's been a great experience.
And I suppose we should be finishing up, but how long did it take you to shoot it?
It was about 3 weeks. So a bit over 3 weeks was the shooting schedule, the principal photography. And then we did some pickups, but we generally did it in that time. So it was pretty we allowed a bit more time in the schedule, because I think this is the other thing around the internship program, but also making and stretching the framework around filmmaking like we do with theatre making. We stretch it so we have more time, and that's more labour intensive, it's cost more money. But if we're ascribing to be really genuine about having a really inclusive practice, It takes that time.
Yeah.
And when you look at methodologies like Crip Time, which is, they've just announced the Alter State coming up. It's a performing arts
Coming
festival at
down,
Arts Centre
yeah.
Melbourne. And this is one of their central principles. And I'd say, oh, wow, that's in some ways how we've been working at Back to Back for
Yeah.
a long time. But it's under that banner of it, sometimes you have to pause. You're not going to have everyone in the room every day. You need to be flexible with your start time, your end time. You need to give really appropriate breaks. And that's quite maybe more possible in a theatre context, but in a filmmaking context, that can be very, very challenging because there's so many people, it's costing you minute by minute so much money. And but we just had to staff and then we learned lots doing it to try and, what sometimes it works really well, other times it's like, oh, okay, we're feeling the pressure because we have to finish now, or if we don't finish now, we're going into overtime. Do we have the money and the budget to do that? So these are the real world considerations that we have to put alongside and then find ways of subverting and adapting with the idea of inclusive filmmaking, which is something we're reflecting on. We're doing a big project with some funding from the Screen Rights Cultural Fund to look further into pathways for include making conducting ourselves or others in inclusive filmmaking.
Because it's very intense. A film, a film set for any length of time, it's very intense.
How did you go with that, Sarah? Like that get costuming, makeup, and you don't shoot much more than a few minutes in a
No,
day. But how did you go keeping your stamina up?
I found it was good once I knew the schedule and knew I had to what I had to do. Yeah, it was good. Yeah.
It was kind of challenging coming back into work because we'd all been working at home and like went from 0 to 100.
That's
And it
right.
did take us a few days to just all realign our bodies and minds into that space. And then filmmaking is its own particular intensity, as you say, Annie. So
That's
yeah.
right. And to finish up, you said you had a private screening with everybody at Back to Back. What was, how did everybody react? How did everybody feel? People really enjoyed it.
Good.
Really
What did you
liked
think of seeing
it.
yourself on screen?
I really loved it.
Larger than life and so good and powerful and strong. So yeah. But people, the response would, we weren't sure how the film would go. We thought, let's try it, let's see what it's like. We obviously sharing with cast and crew, but then it's even been sharing it with at South by Southwest and even with Sydney International Film Festival and other places that we've done test screenings. The response has been really positive. So we're just delighted to be able to share it, as I said, with
That's
our
right.
really regular and long-standing audience in Victoria.
Thanks for spending some time with me.
Thanks, Annie.
Thanks, Annie.